If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
We'd like to take a moment to tell you about our sponsor, Anchor.
Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast.
It's free.
There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer.
Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more.
You can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership.
It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place.
So download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started. Now, let's get to the show.
What's the best way to reduce? Eat plenty or starve yourself?
30 pounds in just 18 weeks, Jenny Craig totally worked.
I love to eat, but overeating made it impossible to lose weight.
My body wants bread, and I'm going to give my body what it wants.
Oh, my God.
So I naturally.
Medical studies prove that overeating is the number one reason for weight gain.
If you need to lose weight, you
really
should lose weight
and bring
your weight down another week.
Losing weight
is
more emotional.
Welcome to Fat Camp, a podcast that throws a comedy eye over our societal obsession of diets. Now, a little disclaimer, we are not health experts, but we are fad diet connoisseurs. I'm your host, comedian Grace Mulvey.
And I'm your co-host, Connor Dowling.
Welcome to Fad Camp.
Grace, I am so excited to be with you here today, my wonderful friend and diet confidant. Got a very exciting topic to talk about today, something that I'm sure a lot of people will hopefully be able to relate to. Today we're going to be talking about personal trainers.
Never heard of them.
Never heard of them. Don't want to hear them. Not interested.
Don't want to hear about it. Sorry, you're going to have to come up with something else. I don't care what research you've done on this.
How about... No, okay. Well, look, the thing about personal trainers is...
It's personal this time.
Let's get personal with trainers. We're training our lens on personal trainers today. Okay, so obviously a lot of people are going to know a lot about personal trainers. So I'll just give you a very brief introduction to the world of personal trainers, what it is, yes, what they do, just for anyone who has been living under a rock.
And also some people just may have never gone and gotten one or booked one or had the money to do it. You
and
know?
Lucky them. They've never had the misfortune of degrading themselves like that. Yeah, so like this is actually a topic that like I've been wanting to talk about for a while. I've been trying to kind of figure out like kind of the best way to do it. So I will tell you two very short stories about my own experience with personal training.
Okay.
One of them is kind of funny and light, and the other one's a bit more frustrating, let's say. It's not exactly the most like painful, hard-hitting experience of my life, but in researching it, I was getting pretty frustrated.
was it bringing it all back up for you?
Absolutely.
Kind of like, or it, reminding you like, oh, this is a bit mad. Yeah,
it was. And I think that's something that we've kind of talked about a lot on the show, you know, like that, you know, we're kind of reliving things and it can be quite cathartic, you know, so hopefully it'll be cathartic for us talking about it. And, you know, for anyone listening who's had kind of similar experiences or question marks around the world of personal training.
I would love if, like, during this episode, you decided to do a workout as you were talking about it to really give the full experience of what it would be like to be personal training.
Grace, I've got a treadmill desk. I'm walking. Can you not hear it in the background? Cue sound effect.
I would just
treadmill.
Love you. Be like, and then he said to me, just like really heavy breathing episode.
It's like, yeah, Connor, it sounds like you're on an incline at the moment. What's happening with that treadmill?
Yeah.
Okay, so personal trainers are certified fitness experts who often work one-on-one with clients to achieve specific fitness goals around health, weight loss, and muscle building. I think that's a pretty fair textbook definition of a personal trainer. Personal trainer has the task to give advice, provide clients with constructive criticism, and dig deep into motivation, as the French call it.
La motivation.
Motivation. Is that a sound effect? That was really convincing.
Thank you.
For instance, a good personal trainer will encourage you to follow a healthy lifestyle, a good personal trainer will encourage you to follow a healthy lifestyle, carry drink bottles with you, and stay hydrated. Now, that's drink as in water, not drink as in the type of drink Grace likes.
Yeah. I bring a bottle of vodka to my personal training sessions. If I got to talk about a bench crunch press sit up.
It's what was prescribed to me by the expert.
Yeah, I like the way that they they have three things, and one of them is bring a drink bottle, but also stay hydrated. Like, I was like, could we maybe just put that into one
thing?
The
golden rules of personal training are stay hydrated, carry water with you at all times, and drink the water.
Oh. The three commandments of personal training: hold a bottle of water, drink a bottle of water, and stay hydrated.
Thou shalt not go dry.
Shalt not let thy mouth drieth up. Okay, sorry, go on, you're telling
they
me.
Might also, oh god, here we go, they might also recommend various drink options. There's a lot of random drinks. I think I'm actually reading the definition of a hydration specialist, which I did not know was a thing until now.
I feel like this is like how to drink water for dummies.
I'm reading off the wrong Wikipedia page entirely. What is going on here?
Okay, sorry, yes.
And they will also prescribe how much water to consume, which is a totally different thing. Things like this will not only boost your fitness results, but also improve your overall health, along with that balanced diet and exercise regime.
Yes.
They will pride themselves on customizing workouts and eating plans to each specific person, right?
Yes, yeah.
That is often the claim they make. And I see you drinking your water there. That is very good personal training technique.
Thank you.
Personal training in the form of coaches and with athletes and the military drill instructor style have been around for centuries, right? You know, like as long as there's been athletes, there's been some sort of coach or personal trainer. But the modern idea of a PT or a personal trainer, most of us have in our minds, started actually in the late 1900s, the 20th century, which most of us were born in. Showing our age, right? And this also just happens to coincide with the beginning of the diet industry as we know it. You know, like the time when all of the books came out and the fitness regimes and diet pills, like in.
Okay, that's really interesting, isn't it? That like suddenly this idea pops up along with all of the diet culture that we know now starts to suddenly pop up.
Yeah, so I suppose you got to have somebody who's like kind of on the front line of diet culture, who's like selling the stuff, you know, who's like, thank you to our frontline workers.
You're now allowing personal trainers to consider themselves frontline workers.
But like keeping people healthy, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So in the 90s, the first personal trainer certificate was created.
Oh, and wow, in the 1990s.
It was not necessary until then to be certified to become a personal trainer. Isn't that interesting?
You are joking. 1990s was when you... That is insane.
No, the 1190s. No, sorry, the 1990s. Yeah.
With the Battle of the Boyne came the personal trainer certification. That is very recent, though. That's like 30 years ago.
It really is. You know and what I mean? Like, kind of explains the explosion of it kind of in our lifetime. Like, you know, basically when we were kids was when you had to be like certified to be a personal trainer. Like I definitely remember my sister having a personal trainer. She would have been that bit older than me when I was kind of growing up.
Yeah.
And then of course when we were getting, you know, into our teens and the years where you're kind of allowed to have a personal trainer, I don't think you can have a personal trainer before the age of 18. That's probably kind of when it was like at its like peak, you know? And then, I guess in the past 10 to 15 years, it has really skyrocketed, you know?
Can I just say that that means, this is just an interesting thing that's come to my head, is that like Richard Simmons, who kind of, what, he would have come up in like the 80s, really?
Mm.
Wouldn't have had to have had any certification. And Jane Fonda, when she came out with those like real like aerobic exercise videos, I wonder if she had to be certified. Those are just, it's interesting that like, you know what I mean? I wonder the popularity of that. Yeah. I wonder if that kind of brought in also certification, because suddenly these exercise videos became like explosions for at-home workouts.
Their certifications, and I say this like, you know, with the tiniest bit of humor, is their certification was their charisma, you know what I mean? Their celebrity, their persona, that they could basically come on TV, do a workout. You know, Jane Fonda's already a celebrity. Richard Simmons has the most amazing story, and his career was born out of an eating disorder that nearly killed him. There's this fantastic podcast called Finding Richard Simmons, and it's have you heard it?
Highly recommend. Insane. It is brilliant. If you haven't listened to it,
and there's an audio clip of
it. Don't stop listening to this.
Yes,
listen,
please.
This
put it on the queue right after this, because we got some good stuff here. And Richard Simmons may be making an appearance later on. Oh shit! Now I'm gonna have to do my Richard Simmons impression.
Oh,
But he does tell a story about eating nothing but lettuce and water for like weeks or months to lose a shitload of weight, ending up in hospital. And then after that, becoming the, you know, healthy, you know, charismatic pep talking guy that we all know and love. So, you know, there's, you'll actually, I think if you dig through so many kind of famous personal trainers, you will find these stories like, oh, I had really unhealthy eating habits, or I had an eating disorder. Yes. I trained myself to death. And then when I rose from the dead, I was like, I'm going to show people how to do it the right way.
Yeah. You know? I feel like you're talking about Christ's story. That's like Jesus Christ's story. I rose from the dead and became a personal trainer.
It's the classic hero's journey.
Yeah.
So interesting. My next point was by the 1980s, personal trainers were actually making millions of doll hairs. Wow. Selling home exercise videos. And by the noughties, personal trainers started to become more affiliated with products like protein powders, supplements, and other various health potions. So that's just the noughties. And then kind of after that, we have our social media, which is bringing in this whole like kind of DIY personal trainer influencer, you know, which is kind of a whole other podcast, because that's like such a massive thing to tackle, you know.
The fitfluencer and the influencer gymfluencer, all that sort of stuff. It's going to be its own episode, but it is such a phenomenon now. It's insane.
It is. And actually, you just reminded me, a friend of mine was working for a gym, and they tried to get a gymfluencer to train in their gym, to try to give them like a free session in their gym. So they would, you know, this is the thing that people do. This particular gymfluencer wanted 30 grand to make this appearance. So I'll come to your gym, I'll work out, or maybe one of your PTs will work with me and we'll do, you know, toss some massive truck tires around or shake some ropes or whatever.
Yeah.
Or I'll do some twerking. I'll do some those squat twerks that people seem to love.
Yeah,
you'll pay me 30 grand. And this is my friend who's like starting a gym and like, you know, pure like, you know, broke and just like trying to get some kind of publicity, thinking obviously I'll pay this person. But, you know, the
30 grand.
Like,
are you going to do some bloody construction work as well while you're here?
Oh, remodel the place as well. You don't want any bare walls in this place.
Yeah.
So while a trainer needs to coach you, cheer you on and give you confidence, they shouldn't be giving medical advice. Right. Unless they're like qualified health experts. And to be a qualified health expert, you need to be like a dietitian. There, you know, there's a difference between a dietitian and a nutritionist. Nutritionist is certified. Dietitian is like a 4-year college degree with like a dissertation and all that, you know.
But I didn't know that. Sorry.
And if you meet a dietitian and accidentally call them a nutritionist, they will correct you very quickly. You know, they'll say, no, a nutritionist is a certified kind of, you know, you could do an online course, you can do a weekend training or whatever. I don't know how long it is to become a nutritionist, but
dietitian's like, those scumbags. No, I'm not a nutritionist. Totally.
Well, there's a genuine kind of like, you know, problem with people feeling like getting lumped in with those. So a personal trainer usually is not a dietitian. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they have also done that. But they are not qualified to give you medical advice. They can...
And can I just say one thing before? That's really interesting, because I've seen a lot of personal trainers say personal trainer / nutritionist.
Sure.
So it's interesting to really get down the definition between a dietitian and nutritionist.
I
think actually the fact that a lot of personal trainers will say nutritionist, you would think, oh, they're a dietitian.
Well, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? As in
the average person goes nutritionist, dietitians, same thing, right? But a dietitianist is a doctor. Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's if I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure a dietitian is like, it's like one step away from like doing a PhD or something like that, you know? So it's you've got a serious qualification there. Not that I'm particularly on board with most dietitians, you know, like, our guru and friend, Christy Harrison of the Anti-Diet, she is famously an anti-diet dietitian. So she would have qualified as a dietitian, done all of the training, and then realized, hang on, this is one size fits all kind of like health advice isn't exactly the best thing for everybody.
Yes. Yeah. Just to say again, The Anti-Diet is a great book.
Please read
it. If you can get a read of it, do. It's fantastic. Anyway, sorry, continue.
Becoming a certified personal trainer, certified, can take anywhere from 9 months to a year, right? So there is work involved in it. But if you go into Google and say become a personal trainer, there is a course in Ireland that is a 15-week part-time course. and you can become a personal trainer. Yeah. So I'm not trying to devalue the work that would go into a course of that, because we've all done courses that are 3 weeks, 15 weeks, and there's a lot of work in them.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show how simple the training can be for such an important thing. You know, like you're dealing with people's health. Though you're not a health expert, though you're not meant to give health advice or give medical diagnoses or anything like that, you are dealing with the fragility of somebody's health and life, really.
Yeah. God, that's so interesting. 15 weeks. Like, do you know when you hear about in the States where the police like have like a 3 month training course and you're like, that might be part of the problem that they're having over there. I feel like this is a bit like that, where I'm like, I kind of want a personal trainer to go through a bit more training, if I'm personally honest with you. You know what I mean? Like, if I heard that it was 15 weeks, I'd be like, okay, well, you know, it's taken me 32 years to try and become a funny adult woman.
Well, that's exactly the point that I've kind of been thinking about. You know, we're talking about a 15 week or even a 9 month training course to try to fix or cure or assist somebody who has a 32 year or 30 year or whatever lifetime worth of health issues or behaviors around food and exercise. So that just gives us a little bit of a background on the world of personal trainers. Okay, a couple of little factoids in there for you. So obviously, like I said at the start, this is something that I've experienced. Again, like we often say in our shows, you know, this is our personal experience. You know, so I'm sure there are people out there who have had great experiences with personal trainers who would say, oh, this personal trainer saved my life. I'm sure there are personal trainers out there who are great people, who are not trying to take advantage of anybody, who are, you know, who do care about making people fitter and healthier. That being said,
dun dun dun.
Oh, we've got loads of room for sound effects.
I'm here to destroy all of y'all.
I say as I twirl my lockdown mustache.
Yeah.
So before I go into my own experiences, like, Grace, have you had many of your own experiences with personal trainers?
Oh, yeah, I have been. Once again, lads, I will be the first to put my hands up and say I have thrown thousands of euro at fucking diet culture. But personal trainers being part of that. Now, funny enough, I am a humble brag, quite a active person and everything like that. Now, I wasn't so much when I was younger, but I've ended up becoming a much more active person over the years. The first personal trainer I ever went to, it's so expensive. I remember paying 600 euro for, I think it was like 10 sessions, which is 60 euro per session. Now, obviously, it's like really intensive and like, you know, they work with you and stuff. I did find, and I've been with different personal trainers over the years, they've all been men, varying degrees of kind of, I found, like, I don't know, a good working relationship with. Some I found kind of intimidating. I sometimes feel when you go into these gyms, as a woman, when you go into these gyms, some of the personal trainers, those are sometimes a very, like, gym bro attitude in the gyms. And as a woman who's, like, a chubby woman going in and trying to do a workout, I was sometimes like, oh, this is kind of intimidating. Like, as in, like, I didn't feel that comfortable there.
Yeah.
And you know, when like the sort of these things about women only gyms or whatever, and people have varying opinions on it. But I was like, sometimes I was like, I don't know how comfortable I am chatting to this person for an entire hour. Or I felt I had to make up for the uncomfortableness between us, when I was like, maybe you should have to be like, hey, have you ever seen Sex in the City? I hear that's good. Like, maybe I shouldn't have to be like, oh, Arsenal, we're playing. You know, like, I was like, come and chat. Try and, you know, maybe
it's like getting a haircut, you know, like, are you going anywhere on your holidays?
Yeah,
you know, you're squatting like a big barbell press thing. And
silent. It was interesting. But I do, you know, I did learn a lot about fitness and things like that. But, you know, and I was varying degrees of my body has changed so much over the years. But like, you know, different sizes and stuff. It can be really difficult to go in, particularly if you're in a larger body, and start to work out like that. I found some of the conversations about food not great, and I will say that sometimes I got advice on food from personal trainers that I was like, I kind of mightn't have asked for, but also I was like, I don't know where, like, they'd just be like, oh, what did you eat today? Oh, I passed. Oh, not like, maybe like cut down on carbs. And I'm like, you don't kind of know anything about me, as in, like, you don't know anything about my medical history. And one time I was talking to a personal trainer and he was like, oh yeah, so you know, I was talking about nights out and drinking and stuff, and he was like, yeah, I just try and stay away from like the heavier drinks. So I don't get bloated, I just drink shots of tequila.
Wow.
So he was
hardcore, bro.
8 to 10 shots of tequila on a night out. Oh, and I was like, see, this is where I was like, this is the difference between health and diet culture, because I wouldn't consider that incredibly healthy. I just think that you're like, I don't want to basically drink a carb, so I'm just going to knock back a shot. And that's aesthetics rather than obviously like health. But I remember really clearly as well, and I'll never forget this. I was with a personal trainer, and he mentioned that he stopped. This was the first time probably actually like I had said to a personal trainer, I don't want to talk. He was like, oh, keep a food plan and send me your food plan every week. Once again, didn't know what credentials this guy had for him to be giving me advice on, you know, that. But I actually, this was, by the way, only a few years ago. And I just said, do you know what? I really don't want to go into the whole diet aspect. I'm really just looking at my fitness, because I've had eating disorders before. And I said it to him in text. I have had eating disorders before. I don't want to actually put down a food diet, because I find that very difficult to do at the moment. And he said, that's no problem. That's fine. Anyway, I heard through a friend of mine who had recommended this guy to me. And she said, and I just said, I'm just looking for the fitness. And she said, he stopped seeing a client before because she wasn't losing weight. As in, like, he said to this other client of his, oh, yeah, no, I had to drop her because, you know, people would see her coming into the gym and she wasn't losing weight. So obviously it would reflect badly on me. And I thought, now that is very telling, because I was straight out with him where I said, I'm actually not interested in losing weight. I'm interested in fitness. I'm a bigger person, fine. But I know my own history with eating disorders. So, and he was respectful of that when I told him outright. But I, when I heard that from a friend of mine who had recommended me, I just said, okay, well, now I don't want to.
Absolutely.
I don't want to go to this person. Because like, also, why would you tell someone else that and proudly tell someone else that? As in like, you think that's a really good business idea. So I was like, so it's more about the aesthetic to you than it is about the person's health. And I thought that that was very interesting.
That's it in a nutshell, to be honest. You know, it speaks to their experience level and their fear of, oh, well, because it's all about looking good, right? So if that person doesn't lose the weight and look good, then he doesn't look good. So, you know, and you're coming to a personal trainer and saying, look, you know, I've got experiences with disordered eating, these sort of things are going to be triggering for me. And they're like, cool, sure, yeah, no problem. That's fine, that's totally fine. And you're like, okay, cool. And then when you start training with them, it's one size fits all, because that's what they have been taught how to do in their course.
Yeah, it is interesting, because like every single time I would go to a personal trainer, I don't know, by the way, some of them were brought on great with them, but never stayed too long. You know what I mean? I never stayed too long, but like, one is just really expensive. But I did find that a lot of it was aimed at, okay, so we'll get you, we'll lose, you'll lose weight, blah, blah. When it's like, maybe we can alter the way that we look at this. Like, does it have to always be like losing weight? Or like this, by the way, there's one thing I find really interesting. There's like personal trainers for like it brides.
Okay.
Like, oh, get the dress. Like what way you want to look on your wedding day. Totally. You know what I mean? That's just really interesting to me, where, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, God, that's such a tailored thing.
It's a specific thing. There's a market for it.
It's a very specific thing. One other thing I want to mention before you go into your stories, because I think this is so, I've mentioned before, but I really find it so interesting, was when I listened to a TED talk about women's strength during their period cycle. Mm. There's a certain time in your period cycle where you are less strong. And actually, there's apps and stuff where you can track it, and they'll be like, oh, you might feel a bit weaker today, all this sort of stuff. There's quite a big gap of percentage of, if you're like, I think it's a week before your period or something, during a certain phase, the lateral phase or something, where you're physically weaker, right?
Yeah, this reminds me of our CrossFit episode where we discovered the personal best and the period best.
Yes, the period best. I'm at my period best all the time. No, but like, I found it interesting that I found this out from a TED talk, and I was like, I've gone to a lot of personal trainers and never once has a personal trainer... And I'm not saying that they have to be like, hey, you bleeding today? Like, I just have to...
What's your flow like, bro?
Sorry, what's your flow like, bro? But like, or like, you just come in with a scarlet letter, like a red P that you have on your thing. But like, I just found it interesting that if you're going to talk about strength and all that sort of stuff, that I was like, oh, there's a bit of a lack of knowledge here. Because I've never had a personal trainer even say, what stage are you at in your cycle? Because that might be the reason why you're not able to actually lift heavier today, or you know what I mean? And I was like, do these guys know this? Or
I severely doubt that.
Talk about. And then I was like, because a lot of the clients are women now. Women are going to personal trainers quite a bit. The brides are all in there. You know what I mean? So that was one thing I just wanted to mention beforehand. Because once again, if you're going to be paying a lot of money to someone to train you, I think these kind of conversations have to happen about it actually being properly personalized to people's different bodies. Not that, oh, we're going to personalize it, but really we're just going to have everyone do the same exercises. That's, like, you know what I mean?
That's I totally appreciate that. Like, I mean, and the whole thing of, you know, as a personal trainer, you were, the selling point is we will tailor the workout, the diet plan to you and your needs.
Yeah.
But when you get there, when you, after you've paid your money, you get the one size fits all, and you will see that illustrated in my story. And I'd just like to start by saying, like, you know, over the years, I've been assigned various personal trainers at gyms. You know, when you sign up to a gym, they'll say you're going to have an introductory kind of session with our personal trainer. And then you can decide whether you want to kind of stay with them throughout, or you can just go at your own pace. And I've had both of those experiences. You know, I've signed up and quit enough gyms in my life to like have a variety of experiences.
Listen, Connor, you're not alone in this. Yeah. Everyone has done that. We've all done the introduction to a gym about, I'd say, a dozen times in our lives. So, it's so painful.
Every time we're like, so this is an exercise bike. Okay. I've never, interesting. Okay.
Oh, you walk on a treadmill. That's amazing. Like, it actually, people don't talk about how awkward that introduction to a gym is. Oh, it's so awkward.
With like someone whose life is fitness is just standing there and just doing their absolute best not to judge the shit out of us. How could they not be judging the shit out of us?
I love the thought of them, hey, you see that dumbbell? Yeah, pick it up, you dumb fuck.
Pick it up. Yeah. Now put it down. Now pick it up again. There. How hard was that? But like, I've had...
This has just come back to me now. Oh my God. I one time had to do a gym introduction with a guy I had kissed before.
Oh, cringe-tastic.
Like, as in, like he was like one of my first kisses as a teenager. He was the gym instructor. He had to take down my weight.
You lift like you kiss. Come on, what's going on here?
You lift like you kiss, soft and tender.
You call that a kiss? I mean, you call that a lift? This is an inappropriate relationship, I'm sure, is what he said.
When he had to put down my weight, I thought, I want to die.
Oh, this is the lowest point in any person's life. You got to put that in your pilot, right?
I have to. Yeah. That's in the pilot, bro.
That's the opening shot.
That's your flow, bro. Flow bro is going to be the name of the pilot. Anyway,
Flow bros. That's the gym. That's the period conscious gym run by men who are very, very sensitive to women's issues.
I look forward to the Daily Mail doing an absolute attack article on that gym.
In all of these kind of various meetings and one-on-one sessions I've had, you know, there are enough stories in there to kind of just make you cringe your pants off. But for this episode, I want to share one that's kind of painful and personal. And it's about the most recent and final time I have ever or will ever work with a personal trainer.
Breathing in, breathing out. But
like the biggest thing I noticed over the years in gyms with personal trainers was if you ever missed an appointment or lost your drive or just stopped going, they'd never call or text or check in to see if you were like still alive or interested in keeping your fitness. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that when the first time that happened to me, I think was a bit of a kind of like moment of like, oh, it's not that idea of they've got my back and they're going to like motivate me. And I'm obviously not trying to put all the responsibility on them, but I think that kind of helped me see behind the curtain of like, oh, it's not what you think it is from all of the stuff that you might see on like TV.
And it is, I have to say, like TV has really, really sold you that personal trainers are invested in your fitness journey and health journey from shows like The Biggest Loser or you know what I mean, My 600 Pound Life, like all of these shows which will have their own episode, trust me. But it is and also I have to say personal trainers sell themselves that way.
Like 24/7 support.
We'll be there for you, blah blah blah. And like, realistically, how true is that? Now I'm sure there are ones out there that are like that. But it is sold like a all across the board that all personal trainers are going to be like.
And often when you see someone's transformation journey on social media, it will be accompanied by, oh, I owe it all to this personal trainer. They were with me and pushing me the whole way. So then you're kind of like, okay, well, I guess this is what works, like, you know. And I did say I'll never use a personal trainer again. But if I'm like, if I ever get to be like cast in like a Marvel movie or something like that, and I have like the support of like, you know, Kumail Nanjiani training for the next Marvel movie and a team of people being paid to make you stick to the plan, then maybe I might, you know, get in on that. But before I get to the main story, I wanted to share a funny little encounter I had with a personal trainer that just to break the ice. This was a couple of years ago. I was working in an office building in the city center, and this guy opened up like a CrossFit type gym on one of the floors in the building. And I used to always pass by, I'd say hi to him and stuff like that. And I got chatting to him one day and told him I was interested in like getting into shape, and I was curious about his gym. So we sat down, like, in fairness, we sat down for like about like 45 minutes in his gym on a couple of stools, just two bros talking it out. And
get on with the flow, bro.
Yeah. And he was telling me about how much he thought he could help me. And I was like really into it. And I was like, you know, like spouting all of this, like, you know, motivational, like kind of like diet stuff that I had been kind of like into at the time. So we really hit it off. And I told him, you know, I was like self-employed and like just getting started. So I was like, wasn't earning very much. So I was a bit concerned that I wouldn't be able to afford what he was offering.
Right.
But he was really nice, like really nice guy and really passionate about it, helping me. So he said he could do a deal for me. And I remember, I remember the moment where he's like, yeah, and he took out a notebook and he started like scribbling down the notebook, like, you know, because he was like taking my personal situation and my like broke ass, like self-employed life into account. And what he pitched was €100 a session, three sessions a week.
Oh my God.
But to be fair, if I wanted, I could do five sessions a week for €75 each. Right?
Sorry, that sound that I just came out with. Are you... I've never heard of it that expensive.
It's crazy, right?
Apart from like Jennifer Aniston style stuff. I, do you know what I mean?
Like, I was in the headspace of like, you know, like three... Like, so that's like, if I did three sessions a week at €100 a week.
Yeah.
That, to me, that was like a gym membership for the year. £300 for the year. Oh, do you know what I mean? And still not an easy kind of amount of money to part with when you're like, you know, self-employed and starting your own business, all that. So I said, I'd think about it. I thanked him and left. And I probably felt pretty kind of like defeated because we had such a great chat. And, you know, there was just no way, you know, spoiler alert, there was no way I was going to be able to afford this. So it kind of just wasn't going to happen. Right. So the next day.
Did he think like your second name was like Murdoch or Rockefeller?
Yeah, he saw me and he's like, oh,
he was like,
he thought I owned the building. He thought I owned the building.
You're like, welcome to my building. And he's like, yeah, you're €100.
If only he could have seen my office at the time. It was like an abandoned building I was using to write in. It was such a weird time in my life. I'll tell you about it another time. But so the next day I met my mom in town for coffee nearby the office.
Yeah.
And when we're leaving, she was like, oh, let me treat you to like a little cake, you know, to take away, like bring back to the office or whatever. And I was like, oh no, I simply mustn't. I must not have a cake. You know, I must be good. Yeah. Okay, go on. Okay, fine. Let's make it happen. Yeah. Just a quick one. So I went for, Grace, I went for the dirtiest and most delicious dessert known to man.
Oh my God.
The coffee slice.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking
about. I love it.
Like the absolute like messiest pastry cream flying everywhere.
It's buttercream. You can taste the particles of sugar.
Your pupils dilate when you first bite into it, right? So I was like, I'm going to bring this back to the office later, right? So then, I think you might know where this is going, right? Then me and my mom, we went to like a nearby ATM. And while I was waiting for her to get money out of the ATM, I started feeling a little bit peckish. You know, I started feeling a little, you know, like I might have this like, you know, see what this coffee slice is all about. So I figured I'd take a little bite of that coffee slice while I wait for mom to get out cash. So I'm standing on the street corner off like Dame Street. And I launched that coffee slice into my mouth, right? Oh, and you know when you bite down on a coffee slice, like cream just blasts out the sides Joker kind of like, you know,
thing
on your face. And your nose pokes into like the sticky coffee icing on top. Like it's just such an explosion of senses. It's a carnival of experience.
By the way, to anyone who doesn't know what it is, it's like two like pastries with like a... with like a lifetime supply of whipped cream.
Like 2 inches of cream in the middle and like coffee icing on the top, right?
So it went everywhere.
Well, Grace, at that exact moment that my teeth connected with the coffee slice, Grace, the exact moment,
oh Oh, stop.
The personal trainer walks out of the bank.
Oh,
and
God,
makes
no.
eye contact with me as I'm like, you know, teeth right into the thing. There was a moment where we both just like stared at each other while I was like face deep in coffee slice. And then he just moved on without saying anything.
I'd love if he moved on. You went, that'll be 200 per session now.
And we never spoke of it again. We never saw each other again. Please. This episode of Fad Camp is brought to you by Ursula Rainier, the professional and personal trainer.
Hi, I'm Ursula Rainier, the professional and personal trainer. After I made my first million with a viral Instagram fitness brand, Hard Butts by Ursula, I decided to focus my attention on equipping new personal trainers with skills, techniques, and tools I've spent my entire career developing, so that they too can help the less physically fortunate. A hard butt for all was my mission statement when I first began all those years ago. And so far, the results have been staggering. Just hear what some of my personal trainer clients have to say.
Ever since I was a kid, I wanted two things: to be in great shape and to share that dream with others by helping them get the butt they deserve.
Might sound a little vain to some, but I became a personal trainer to help more people be like me. And Ursula has helped me achieve my dream of making the world a better place, one hard butt at a time.
All my trainers have a 19% success rate with their clients. Just listen to how they've changed their lives.
One of my clients went on to compete in the first World Butt Cracking Championships, sponsored by Ursula's Hard Butts, of course.
My proudest moment as a personal trainer was seeing that not only were my clients' butts getting stronger, but so were their hearts.
When one of my clients lost their life in a non-hilarious gym-related accident, his family requested that he be placed butt up in the coffin. It was my proudest moment as a trainer.
Right. So join me, Ursula Rainier, the professional and personal trainer, and we'll change the world one hard butt at a time.
So in 2019, I hit a bit of a low point in my physical and mental health, and was like, look, this is it. You know, I've been in this situation so many times before. I'm just like so fed up with seeing the scales constantly rising, can't control my food intake, can't control my weight gain, can't motivate myself to exercise. I think I need like a physical trainer, like, you know, with a meal plan, etc., and support who could help me. Like a serious one, not a gym appointed, like, you know, meet you for a session and then never see them again. I want someone who's going to be like, you know, on my back and like really like, you know, help me. Right. So then I found myself on where many moments of fad diets start. I found myself on social media and
beautiful.
An influencer type person who I follow and who I like, you know, and who I respect shared their own transformation story. Now, they hadn't lost a lot of weight, but they had gone from being kind of, well, what they called quote unquote skinny fat. Have you heard of this expression?
Oh, this is like a person who is like a thin person, basically.
A thin person, but not toned and muscly and ripped, right? So they are quote unquote skinny fat, right? So they said they were skinny fat and they weren't eating very well and they weren't exercising. And they started working with this personal trainer who helped them lose fat, put on muscle, get into the best shape of their life, and supported them like with 24/7 support, like every step of the way, right? And again, like this is an influencer person who I respected. This is not some like random look at the great holiday I'm having, look at the great lifestyle I have. This is someone who I was like, oh shit, no, like they like mean a lot to me, you know, and they still do, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, as much as a like online personality can, like, you know, like I mean, you know, now that I think about it, I don't really give a shit about them, you know, but like, You know what? You know what? Actually, fuck that person.
Oh, that is so funny.
So, of course, there was a link and I looked up this trainer and he does this whole online transformation package deal, right?
Right.
So this person's based in the UK. They're not, you know, in on the ground in Ireland. You don't have any like real life one-on-one sessions. This was before the days of like, you know, Zoom being like, you know, yes, commonplace. But he makes a fully customized specific workout and food plan for each individual client. So like it's all about your needs. It's like what you need. It's what matters. There's a questionnaire to begin with. You fill out all of your like, you know, experience and all of that. It's all remote, as I say, and you never meet in person, but you have 24/7 contact for any questions, motivation and accountability. No question is too stupid, right?
Right.
He gives you all the advice and instruction you need to get to where you want to be, right? So I looked at his website and I looked at some of the testimonials on his site and, you know, lots of men, lots of women who'd used his services. But the main thing I noticed was that none of his clients looked like me. You know, none of his clients had a lot of extra weight and fat to lose. So I was like, you know, they were all people who were, quote unquote, the expression I hate, skinny fat. And they had gone from being skinny fat to being like fitness models, basically, you know, or like some version of that. And I was like, oh, that doesn't really kind of like work for me. So I'll contact him, you know, and I'll ask him and I'll say, look, this is what I noticed. This is my situation. Have you got any experience with clients like me? And like, what's the success rate like? And he got back to me and he seemed real nice. And he was like, I've worked with individuals over 300 pounds and have had very good results with coaching them through a calorie deficit and training regime. The more weight you have, the greater the opportunity for fantastic weight loss and progress. So I see it as a positive in that it means the results we achieve will be even more impressive. Okay.
Interesting that you haven't used any of these people in your testimonials.
That is interesting.
Isn't it interesting?
So he offers an 8-week program. On his website, it's the price is slashed, so there's like a discount on it. It's like it's normally £250, which is about 280 to 300 euro, right? For an 8-week plan transformation, your customized meal plan, customized food plan, and your constant support. So I go, okay, look, you know what? I'm stretching the budget a little bit, but like, you know, I'm serious about this. So let's do it, right?
Yeah.
And this will be a great kind of foundation for me because then I'll have the meal plan to continue on with. I'll have the workout plan to continue on with.
Yeah. And can I just say, isn't it very interesting that you, a lot of people will be like, I don't have the money, but they'll find it for these diets. Mm-hmm. You will always be like, well, you know what? I'll just go without a lot just to, so I can get on. Because that's, you think I have to give up everything so I can have this ideal body that's in my head. Do you know what I mean? Like you're willing to spend for it. Like,
So I said to him, I'd like to get started. And let's go ahead with the purchase. Let's do this. Yeah. And he goes, I would advise we begin with a 16-week course block, coaching block. 8 weeks is far too rushed for us to really build the sustainable long-term habits we need. And also given our starting point, i.e. my weight, we have longer to work together. All the best transformations on the site are in the 14 to 16 week mark. So if you can, if you can, this would be ideal for us to begin with. Now, in fairness, he said, if you can.
Right. Yeah. Well, he said, yeah, but he's immediately upselling. And also very interesting that it's like 8-week course. Oh, but actually all the testimonials I put in my account, they're all kind of from the 16 week one. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
So I get back to him and I say, so regarding the 14 to 16 weeks, I know what you mean, though I'm not sure I can afford that length of training. What does it cost for that? And he gets back and says, the 16-week package I would offer a 10% discount on, so it would come to £360, which is about 400 euro. I know it is an investment, but long term...
Oh, ding, ding, ding. Yeah. The word investment. Love it. Yeah.
But long term, this is a small price to pay for the habits we are going to form, and significant changes we are going to make to your physique. So his whole thing on his website is, you know, there's an FAQ and it says, do I need a gym membership? And it says, no, I can create home workouts with whatever equipment you have available to you. And if you don't have any equipment, then bodyweight workouts and calisthenics are also possible. So I was like, great, because I definitely don't have gym money membership on top of this like training program. Yeah. This will be enough. But in his survey that he said to me, that he sent to me, in his survey, it said that a gym membership would be preferable. on top of this. Not now, it wouldn't be through him. It would just be my kind of, you know. Yeah. So then he could give me a workout plan and go, okay, so when you're in the gym, do X, Y, Z kind of things. But like, as we know, like a cheap gym membership in Ireland, I think when I went to the very kind of popular one that's like all over the city, Ben Dunn,
yeah.
I think that was like 250 or something like that for the year, like something like.
Yeah, or I think like you could do 30 a month.
Oh,
if
yes.
You couldn't pay the 250.
Yes, yeah, it would be cheaper if you bought it for the year. If you were to use it, right? So I got back to him and I said, look, you know, let's go for it. The only thing is, I don't think I'll be able to afford a gym on top of that. So can we work with my own weights, like do home workouts, etc.? That would be ideal. Yeah. And he said, homeworkouts we can do, send me a pic of the weights and equipment that you have and that'd be excellent and it'll help me visualize exactly what we can accomplish. And then
so you were saying yes, by the way, to the 16
I was like, yeah, look, let's do it.
16 week, €400.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, let's do it. Okay. Like, you know, so then I sent him, you know, pictures of like my weights and stuff like that. And he's like, oh, I don't know. Look, you're going to need to buy like some spin lock weights, you know, it's like a bar and you put like weights on top of them now, you know, like those things.
But they're like 60 odd quid now.
I bought a really crappy set for like 50 quid, you know, that were like,
I actually
remember the young guy in like the sports shop helped me carry them to the car because I wasn't strong enough. He was so strong. He was like 20 and he was like, carrying. He was like, yeah, this is no bother. And I was like, thanks so much, kind sir. I would not have survived. I would not have made it to my car with these fuckers. So Jesus. Like in terms of even just in terms of like cluttering up the gaff, now I've got these big feckin' gigantic like weights like all around the place, you know? And so, you know, then he kind of went quiet for a while after I paid for him. Yeah.
So you've paid for it and paid
on PayPal. Yeah. So I paid for the 16 week transformation package.
Transformation. And you've gotten the weights and now he's gone quiet.
And I'm like, oh, hey man, what's going on? Like I thought we were going to start on Friday and then I didn't hear from him for a few days. Then he gets back to me and he goes, oh, look, sorry, I was busy and I was putting together your customized, like, you know, package. So this is when he sends me my very special PDF handouts that will be the basis of my entire 16 weeks, right? And I had said to him, like in my survey, I was like, okay, like, because I know you're like customizing this for me personally. I do not care about getting ripped. I've no interest in getting like abs or being like crazy strong or muscly or anything like that. I just want to lose weight, get healthy and build up a gradual level of fitness. I'm happy with losing weight slowly. And
a great attitude to have if you want to lose weight.
That's what I have come
slowly,
to.
Slowly. Yeah.
Because the whole, you know, just throwing everything at it first week out of the gate has never been successful for me. And we've talked about this sort of thing. Sometimes it's just a surefire way to kind of like, you know, exhaust yourself in the first week, you know?
And also a surefire way to injure your body.
To injure your body, exactly.
You want to injure your body? Go nuts at a workout when you haven't worked out for a long time.
Want to tear your pectorals? Like, just ask me and I'll tell you exactly how.
Do you like torn ligaments? Go nuts at a workout. Yeah.
So I open this PDF. And the first thing that comes up on the PDF is a picture of him shirtless eating an apple. And he is ripped to shreds. He is cut to fuck. Grace, he is torn since he was born. You know what I'm saying?
He's got that flow bro mojo. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, like not.
I just imagine, wouldn't it be funny if he was like dressed as like a squirrel eating an apple or something?
Like, he's like a hamster with all the food in his cheeks going, I'm saving this for later.
Winter storage, muscle growth. I'd actually much prefer if he was dressed like that. It'd be funnier.
Motivate me more. That would I'm not even joking right now. That would motivate me more. But here's the thing.
Do you want to look like a squirrel?
I get that. You want to be a squirrel girl? The thing is, I get that that is meant to motivate somebody. You know, in his mind, that is, you can look like this if you train and eat like this. Mm-hmm. But to me, that did two things. First of all, it said, okay, he's not listening to me. He's not, this is not customized to me. He knows I don't care about that.
Yeah.
And what the other thing it did was it immediately injected me with this sort of like self-doubt and self-consciousness of going, I know I'm never going to look like that. And I've kind of made my peace with that. But still, when the person who you've like handed your money to like guide you through this process is like, look at how like the body of a god I have. It's not exactly like motivational. It just kind of makes you go.
It's also what he thinks you should look like. Exactly. And that's where the doubt comes in.
Yeah.
You are looking at that and going, so I've told you as a customer what I'm looking for. And actually what you're looking for is kind of what the opposite of what diet culture has taught us. As in, you're like, I kind of know my own body. Mm. And what I'm looking for is, yeah, I'm looking to lose a bit of weight, but I'm also looking to do it in a time that I know would suit my body. But yeah, he's basically showing you a picture and going, this is what I think you should look like. It is wrong for him to do that. Like, in my opinion, it is absolutely wrong for him to do that. And also, you're once again, and I will say this to personal trainers, you are dealing with people who are coming to you having an issue with their own body.
Yeah.
Like, even in any other way that you want to look at it, whether it's stronger, they're having an issue with their body and they're going, I want to improve this issue. So that's an image issue they have with themselves. Be delicate with it. Don't be like, great, so you want to look like me? Fantastic. I'm not going to listen to you. You want to look like me? Of course you do. Listen, I'm delighted that if a personal trainer's out there and loves the way they look, I think you should love the way
exactly.
You look. But like, I think you should also listen to the person that you're dealing with and also take a bit of responsibility with the fact that you are dealing with people's bodies and they are really important things to be dealing with. So take the responsibility on. Sorry, but
exactly.
Anyway, go on.
So like, I mean, you know, yeah. even like with all of that being said and the minor kind of discomfort I experienced when I saw this, like, you know, totally hot pick, bro. I kind of just went, you know, okay, look, fair enough. That's his thing. That's grand. Yeah. Scroll down. You know, the document itself was like uninspiring and not the best formatted. It looked like someone who knows more about lifting weight than formatting Word document had, like, you know, had a go of this.
By the way, personal trainers, because I have experienced this as well, hire an IT person to just format stuff and you can input the information. Pay for it instead of getting a template off Google Docs that you don't know how to use, because it's horrible to deal with.
So he sends me these documents and he goes, you know, like, no question is too silly. Like, you know, please reach out with anything.
Yeah.
And I did. I reached out with some questions and, you know, he gave me a couple of like
was the first one. What is God? throw him a curveball. Any question.
But
it doesn't matter.
But I, you know, so I did get some like interesting kind of help off. And at the time I was kind of traveling a lot with work. I was on the road. I was staying in hotels for work a lot. So like, it was very hard to stick to like an eating plan. And he gave me some tips around that, you know, at the time I found, you know, I was like, oh, I had not thought of that. That is great. I am glad, you know, so far so good. But then I get into the workout document and I realize, like, I mean, I'm by myself for 16 weeks with this document and just like, I'm supposed to like know how to do all the stuff. There's explanations how to do it. Maybe he'll throw in the odd video from YouTube of some other, you know, gym person showing how to do things.
Yeah,
but there was no like Zoom one-on-one, like, let's work out together. This is how you do it. Because I get that it's remote and I was totally okay with that at the time. But in retrospect, I'm like, well, you really are just kind of left to your own devices, right?
So, yeah, but also even like a quick check-in where it's like, hey, how are you getting on? Is there any questions you'd like to ask me right now over like Skype?
Yes.
We had Skype at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
we might not know Zoom that well, but we had Skype. It wasn't like we were drawing on walls. It wasn't the caveman time. You know what I mean?
So look, I get into this document and I'm looking at the exercises. First of all, confusing. You know, like talking about reps, talking about cadence, talking about all the stuff that I'm, even with my limited experience of working out and being in gyms over the years and following like exercise videos online, I'm still going like, wait, I don't understand what's he talking about here. And, you know, I'd ask him questions, but then he would email it back and it'd be kind of difficult. But not only was it like that, it was also insane. It was like an hour of weightlifting every day. 5 days a week, hour of weightlifting. And then he recommended to do like a 30 to 45 minute cardio session every other day.
Oh my God.
On top of your weights.
Oh my God. So you're taking five hours of like weight training and then like maybe 2 or 3 days of cardio, 35 to 45 minutes.
Yes, from week one. And not only that, but I had said to him in my survey, I said, look, I'll struggle a bit with the cardio because at the start of the year, I went all guns blazing into the gym and I went on a treadmill thinking I was going to train for a marathon. And within a week, I had like destroyed my knees and they still hadn't, like literally like whatever it was, 6, 7, 8 months later, they still hadn't like healed. So I had said all that to him. And yet here he is going, go for a 30 to 45 minute run every day.
God,
Not even building up to it with walking, not even in increments, just like go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And this gets me so much. We talked about it a bit in the CrossFit episode or even the episode of working out at home. This whole thing of transformation, like never in the fitness community, I noticed there isn't a slow and steady pace to working out. And also maybe just the thing of like, you know what, maybe you're just not a person who is built to like, by the way, I'm a squat queen. I just happen to have a body built that I can squat really heavy weights. Isn't that great for me? Push-ups, good luck. I'm trying, but I don't know if I'll ever have an upper body strength that can do it. That's just the way I am. It's the way I'm built. Some women are going to be able to like do pull-ups out of nowhere. Like, it's so weird to me that the fitness community seems to be like, guns blazing, let's go, doesn't matter, no excuses. And yet you're even saying like a tailored plan. Is it really tailored? You obviously copy and pasted this. Not looking at the survey at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of that being said, I was like, look, I'm in this to, you know, commit to it. I've made the investment. You know, I'm serious about this. Let's fucking do it. Yeah. So I went on the food plan. Food plan was kind of generic, was kind of fine. It was fine. Yeah. It was fine for me. There was nothing extreme. It was kind of, you know, protein, low carb, lots of vegetables, all that sort of thing. But there wasn't anything that was like overly kind of problematic, like, you know, just the average kind of like, you know, diet that you would get on pretty much every kind of regime.
That you could almost like look up online and they'll give you. Totally. As in like, you know what I mean?
Totally. Like, and he also, but like to be fair, or not even to be fair, but like to point out, like he did have that kind of like gym bro, like chef experience, you know, of like very simplistic kind of like, you know, like food combinations and all that, but whatever about that, right? So that wasn't really the big problem for me. About two days in, I felt that kind of slump and I started feeling like shit. Like I felt depressed and down and like I just couldn't do it. Like we're talking so early on. And I remember lying on the floor in this very room after a workout, you know, like you're like it's out of breath. You've done all of your workouts and all that. And I was like lying on the floor and I was there for a while and I was just kind of thinking about everything. And I had a bit of an epiphany, you know. And of course, this is all before either of us read like the anti-diet or started talking about we didn't know that diet culture was a thing. So this is, you know, so we were kind of like, or I was anyway, on this kind of process of self-discovery and understanding things about myself. So it's great that I have all this on email because I kind of I can just recall like, you know, what happened. Yeah, you know? So I emailed him and I said, you know, I sent him this email and this is the part that I want to share is like I said to him, I have to say, weirdly, on the second day, I felt like absolute shit, like really low mood and anxious and couldn't face the thought of working out, but didn't falter on the food at all. Felt like that the third and fourth day too. And then I had a bit of a breakthrough. And this is me like lying on the floor having the epiphany straight off. And I said to him, in the past, when I've gone on a diet or a new regime, usually after a couple of days or sometimes weeks, I get this really low mood slump. I've identified this thing like, and this is what I said to him, like proper depressed and hopeless out of nowhere. And then usually I'm too tired to work out and I go and eat some bad food, brackets emotional eating, I've put in the email. And that day turns into 2 days and so on. And then the whole diet is out the window and the weight is higher than when I started. Because again, you know, this is our first week and I'm expecting this kind of like, you know, back and forth, this like supportive kind of like coaching environment and all that sort of thing.
Well, so they said 24/7 support and you're like,
so
okay,
I'm sharing,
you know?
You know what I mean? I'm sharing, you know, my experience. So then I say to him, so I recognize that pattern. And realize it must be some sort of like sugar come down or withdrawal from all the crap I was eating before the diet because it's such an extreme reaction that it doesn't make sense. So now that I've recognized that pattern and I know it's just a biological response to the food I'm eating, this is what I was thinking anyway at the time, I feel a lot more empowered to catch myself when I feel like throwing in the towel and binging on crap food. Today I've been feeling hyper focused and gotten some great cardio and weights and meals done.
Yeah.
So onward and upward. Right?
Right. Okay. It's making me nervous, think of.
Okay. So now, you know, I can see the dates on this. So 2 days later.
Yeah. Okay.
2 days later, I get an email from saying, hey, Connor, that's friggin' awesome, mate. Glad that little slump was only a couple of days long and you're now feeling more focused and that initial withdrawal from the shit food has gone. Onwards and upwards, like you say. Can't wait to see the week 1 weigh-in results. And Grace, we never spoke again.
What?
That was it.
What? Are you joking?
That was it.
So, what? So what happened then? Like, what like, you know,
so
did you...
I went about my days of...
That was such a generic response, by the way, from me.
I know.
And you would, like, in all fairness, really did pour your heart out there in terms of, like, you were properly honest. Like, I think more honest than a lot of people are when with their personal trainers. Yeah. Because, by the way, like, when personal trainers ask you how your week's been, it's been mostly like, oh, like, okay. When actually you could have been like, yeah, well, like, you know, my dog died and then blah, blah, blah. Like, and you're like, actually, I had all these emotions and I find it really difficult on these. But, like, you don't want to say that because you want to. Sometimes you want to put your weirdly, you want to impress your personal trainer,
sure.
which is such a weird thing. It can be a weird dynamic where
you don't
like,
want to show your vulnerability.
You want them to think you're doing great, even if you're not. And or you don't want to admit when you're like, actually, I find this kind of hard to follow or I'm not really enjoying it, which you should, by the way. You should actually enjoy your diet and exercise, just FYI. So that, like, for you to do that takes a lot of bravery to actually tell a health professional, well, health professional I put in brackets now with no offense with a personal trainer, but like, you know what I mean? You're being like, well, I'm going to be perfectly honest here. I've paid the money. Let's go. And he's just come back with this really generic response.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I was starting to sense his level of interest and his level of like ability to commit. Because even if, you know,
you sound like a woman dating in her 30s, by the way, right now. I can sense his level of willingness to commit. Sorry, go on.
But like, you know, because even though that 400 euro, whatever it was like a significant amount to me, like realistically, like to him, I mean, that's not going to like pay his rent for a month. You know what I mean? Like his so like how much commitment can he really give to me and maybe his 20 other clients and his personal life? And I'm sure he trains himself for like fucking 4 hours a day. So like,
if he's given you a, like an hour and 35 minutes, like what the hell is he doing?
Exactly.
Yeah, totally.
So I think I was starting to sense this and I was going, look, I'm just going to stick to the food and, you know, work out as much as I can. But I knew the working out was not going to be sustainable.
Because it's not sustainable unless that's your full time job. That kind of working out is not sustainable.
If you are like
a 40-hour work week, are you kidding? And a life outside it,
and also just that your physical situation leading up to this sudden you know regime where it's like, okay, I was doing nothing last week, but next week I'm doing an hour of weights a day and maybe 35 minutes of cardio every other day.
It is asking someone who has never ran to do a marathon in your first week.
It's asking somebody
insane.
It's asking somebody who doesn't go to the gym to start training to be a bodybuilder. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's the type of workout that he was giving me. And when I look at his picture, those are the results that he got. You know, he looks like a bodybuilder. You know, he looks like a very, you know, slim, but completely muscled to bits bodybuilder.
Yeah.
And that I've made that so clear. That's not what I wanted.
But that's the thing. And that's his full-time job. And also, you know, these people definitely work at it. Do not get me wrong. They put a lot of effort in. They put, you know, but some people also are genetically predisposed to be able to build that muscle where we go, oh, aesthetically, that's pleasing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Other people don't. Like, once again, I've got very muscular legs, but I cannot build that upper arm. You know what I mean? But that's just how I'm built.
But
you know
that's my that's my kind of one of my biggest problems with personal trainers is that we're dealing with people who are naturally athletic, who don't have food obsessions or food addictions or suffer with, you know, disordered eating usually. Who are then basically telling people, be like me and follow what I do. Yeah. And you, who's had these problems your whole life, I'm going to help you deal with that. And it just has always seemed so disingenuous to me, you know. But
I also will counter with this, Connor, that I actually think a lot more of the gym bros or personal trainers possibly deal with disordered eating themselves and don't actually identify it.
Well, look,
because this clean eating thing has become actually such an issue that influencers, there was one very famous incidence of an influencer who was starting to lose hair because she wasn't getting actual nutrients from the clean eating she was doing. You know, people who are incredibly fixated on their diet to the point of like it is really their kind of number one obsession. It's disordered eating as well.
You know what it's mean? Like, it's in a way,
a different topic, but it's something that is actually sometimes, I think, undiagnosed.
I totally agree. Yeah. It's almost like being like a functioning alcoholic. You know, it's like you can be an alcoholic, but still be looking as to the outside world that you're functioning very well, that you're achieving, that you're, you know, showing up to work and all that. But what is it doing to your mental health and your psyche? And yeah, like, I mean, the gym bro or the fitness influencer, whoever they are, they could be looking great, you know, and they're all their photos. Yeah. They've got all of the abs and all of that. And they fit into all these great clothes and they can run, you know, like long distances and lift heavy weights. But, you know, it's at the cost of what they're eating. And it just so happens that for me or you, our disordered eating comes around like, you know, binge eating and then restricting or eating like, you know, restricting certain foods and all that. But for them, it's like, you know, just by eating like insane amounts of their chosen type of food.
Yeah, but I also think as well, because I just want to bring this up, there was a body issue. I kind of think it's Vanity Fair, or one of the big magazines do a body issue each year. And one year on their body issue, they put a professional baseball player on it who had a stomach, had a big stomach. And you know what I mean? He is an incredibly fit athlete. And what people were most astounded by, they were like, but he doesn't look like Chris Hemsworth looks when he goes to train to be Thor. That's because when someone goes to train to be Thor and wants those shredded abs, not necessarily athletes have shredded abs.
True.
Someone goes and trains to have shredded abs.
Yes.
That actually mightn't help in like what they're doing.
That sounds like a really nice cereal. Shredded abs.
Shredded abs. But it's, what I'm saying is that shredded abs is actually an aesthetic rather than is a product of natural fitness. Yes. People have to go out of their way to get these things.
Yes.
So like athletes like Serena Williams doesn't look the way people think that a fitness person should look sometimes. These are like things we have in our head and we go, oh, you should look like Chris Hemsworth when he's playing Thor. Actually, when you look at athletes, not every athlete looks like that. They're just fit people, but they all have different body shapes. So that's what I mean about the gym bro culture. It's actually so much of it is body image and then being like, oh, we have to look a certain way. It's not actually even that the fitness... It's like they might
be aesthetics over health.
It's aesthetics. Exactly. At times it can be aesthetics over health. And that's where all these, and because like protein powder, I mean, listen, if you talk to health experts, not a lot of them are going to be like, oh yeah, have a bucket of protein powder a day. Like these are your conflicting things between gym culture and also health professionals.
I should also say,
we'll all go into that, but like, you know,
I should also say that this particular fitness person, the personal trainer, we'll call him Nick, because that's not his name, but he did nick a lot of my
nick
time
prick.
And money.
Sorry.
Let's just call him Prick. No. He did, you know, after starting, after upselling me on the 8 weeks to 16 weeks, after getting me to buy new equipment, he did also say, you're going to need this protein powder. And here's a 10% discount code that will work.
Oh, great.
That will work one time. I'll remind you there.
And he gets a cut of that discount.
Oh, because he's one of their influencers.
Yeah.
He's one of their brand ambassadors, you know, as I would have seen on his Instagram after, like, you know, doing the obligatory internet stalk. So like I said, you know, kind of things kind of ended very abruptly. And personally, when we had that last email exchange, I was not expecting that this is the last time we talk. I was expecting we're in this for 16 weeks. This is going to bring us up to Christmas and then I'm going to rock up in Christmas looking amazing and, you know, keep it up after that. But part of me did feel like, I bet he's never going to email me back. I bet if I don't message him that I will never hear back from him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he there was meant to be these weekly like weigh-ins and check-ins and all that sort of stuff. The week after we started, never happened. Grace, it never fucking happened.
Oh my God.
And you could say, Connor, you could have emailed him yourself and followed him up.
Oh, I'm sorry, but like you spent 400 this man, no, it is his job. He is offering a service and not providing it. It is not up to you. Like, it's just not. Like, I don't, like, it's like going into a clothing store and they don't have any clothes and then like, well, so you're still going to buy, And you're like, no, why would I buy something that's not here? You provide the service, I pay the money. Like, that's how it works.
And,
so
and I have,
it's not up to you to follow up with him. Like,
I have to say, at the end of the 16 weeks, I felt like emailing him and be like, hey, I lost 100 pounds, just to see what he would say to that and be like, no, of course it fucking didn't. course I gave up after like a week or two because I felt like I felt unsupported. I felt like a failure.
Yeah.
And there's a, you'll probably hear like a bitterness in my voice, probably hear a bit of anger, a bit of emotion. Like there was a lot of that at the time. And I remember at the time.
Yeah. 400 euros worth of fucking anger and bitterness. Yeah.
I did lose 400 pounds in the process. So you know, you can say that. No, but like, I do remember my girlfriend at the time being so infuriated and wanting to like, you know, she's absolutely not this type of person, but she was like, oh, I just feel like, you know, when someone hurts someone that you love, like you just want to go after them. She had that kind of like frustration and just like, how dare he like, you know, take advantage of you? Because she obviously would know my own experience with like, you know, all of the struggles and frustrations with my weight.
And can I just say as well, the hope.
Yeah.
And this is what, like seeing someone you love, because I think it's really hard as well. People who love people who have bad body images or like, you know, or live in bigger bodies and like they see the mental struggle it can take to like yourself and love yourself and accept, you know, all this. When they see you being taken advantage of and being given false hope by a person who's like, I'm going to be there to help you through all of it. And I'm going to blah. And then you throw money at it, you invest in it, and then suddenly they disappear. That is not okay. It is. I'm angry.
Yeah.
I'm pissed off. I'm 400 euros worth of anger and bitterness right now because I think they just go, oh, well, I sent them the link. I sent them the PDF. If I got paid 400 quid for every time I sent a bloody PDF, I'd be a millionaire. I send PDFs all the fucking time. And by the way, once again, to personal trainers, I format them bloody correctly too. Do you know what I mean? Like, Connor, like, I'm so sad that this happened to you and I'm so sorry because I think, as well, what can happen to a lot of people in diet culture who take part in it, we all do, is that you invest in it, you get hope, blah, blah, blah. And then when a lot of them, by the way, which are set up to fail, 95% of diets are, if not all of them, you feel like you were the one who failed.
Even still today, you know what I mean? Having said all of this, as much as I, you know, blame him and like I'm annoyed at him, there is definitely a voice in my head going, oh, but I could have tried harder. You know what I mean? I could have like, you know, kept at it. But there, I do have that kind of maturity and understanding now that maybe I didn't have back then, that I can go, like, that was wrong for me. He was wrong for what he did. And that, you know, I see a lot of kind of immaturity and uncertainty in him for going like, I'm this like fit guy and I gotta help people be fit. And there's a naivety to it. You know what I mean? There is kind of like, and I'd say, like I said before, once he gets that money and goes, okay, well, throw that at my rent, and then go, oh shit, now I have to like, you know, be at this person's beck and call for 16 weeks. That's just not sustainable. You know what I mean? And that's,
it's not sustainable. And it's not sustainable when you multiply one person by 20.
Exactly.
What you probably have to make money.
Yeah.
So that he probably needs to also have a group of personal trainers he's working with.
Maybe he had so many people going that he forgot about me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he very well could have just been like, oh, fuck yeah, that guy Connor, I really wanted to help him and I forgot about him. But that's not okay.
But then
either.
By the end of the 16 weeks, he should have given you the refund because the tailored, and I'm using quotes, food plan, the tailored, once again, quotes, diet plan or like workout plan was not tailored. You know what I mean? No. It's a bit of a scam. And like, yeah, I'm just sorry you went through it. And like, fair play to you for being so honest with them in the first email as well. It's not like you weren't, you put it all out there. You know what I mean? And you went in the first email and went, this is how I'm feeling, this is how I'm finding it. And he comes back with a generic email and you never hear from him again. That's totally wrong. It's a scam. And what's really upsetting is the fitness world isn't regulated.
No.
We've seen it with diet products as well. You know, the Slim Tea, which basically just like makes people piss a lot and get rid of anything. But like, it isn't regulated. There's so many scams out there. And because of the way diet culture is set up, we are all designed to dislike our bodies for people to be able to come in and make money off it. Come in and make money off your insecurities. That's what it's all about. So I'm just sorry that you went through that. That's crap.
No, thanks for saying
that. I think you're beautiful.
Thanks, Grace. And you know what? I think I am as well. And that's not an easy thing for me to say. And it's taken me this long to be able to be that bit more comfortable with my body, be that more patient with my own weight loss. Because even though I'm not at my ideal weight now, I am on a very...
Your happy weight, as I like
mindful,
to call it.
Yes. I'm on a very mindful and gradual journey there. And I know that this extreme kind of thinking is not meant for me or you or our listeners who have experienced similar things in their lives.
Yeah. It's I would go as far as to say that extreme way of thinking of diet culture is not meant for anyone. I don't know who is out there who is like, I am the ideal body. This has worked out for me. Living on baby food and carrots has led to an extremely happy life. But yeah, do you know, one other thing I want to mention, just because I think you brought up the whole transformation thing, and I just want people to keep this in their minds whenever they do see transformation photos online, because I'm hoping people realize that they're bullshit. Mm. I was once asked to be a transformation photo for Motivation, the diet plan.
Oh, wow. Which, oh my God.
Yeah. So I was their star pupil. I'd lost a lot of weight. When they called me, right, I was going through a week. I had a really bad week. It's a very restrictive diet. Yeah. I was uncontrollable binge eating because I just couldn't handle how restricted I'd been for so long. I was in my bed. I swear to God, I had been in my room for about 3 days eating chocolate. I got a phone call from their PR team. We'd like you to be one of our like transformation photos for our website. And at that moment, I thought, now this is funny. This is a funny moment because I look back and I go, oh, it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
Because I would have been a transformation photo talk and I never did it.
Yeah.
But I would have been the one being like, I lost 4 stone and I've never been happier.
Yeah.
It was one of the most miserable times of my life.
And meanwhile, some unsuspecting person like yourself is seeing that photo of Grace's transformation and going, oh my God, I could have the same results as her in just as little as however much money. Like Grace, when you talk about motivation, you remind me of Leah Remini talking about how she escaped the Church of Scientology.
This is, by the way, not the first time we've linked motivation with Scientology.
Where is Shelley Miscavige? That's what I want to know.
Also, Shelley Miscavige was also in Motivation. Haven't seen her since. Anyway, that was amazing, Connor. Fair play. Like, it really was great to hear all those stories. Like, but that really is such an experience that a lot of people listening will have had, where they've been promised a lot. It's almost like a politician. I feel like some of these trainers promise the world, and then when you pay the money, they're like, or they get elected, all right, see you later, bye-bye, you know what I mean? So I think a lot of people will be able to identify. I know I have as well, like, identify with that over-promising and then under-providing, really, like, you know?
Thanks so much. And I do really appreciate that. And the last thing I will say is, look, I am fully ready to say, maybe I'm wrong about personal trainers. Maybe I just had a bad experience with one or two bros. And I'm ready to be proven wrong. So if any legitimate health experts out there hear this and want to clear the name of personal trainers, then I will fully accept a free lifetime personal training package that respects my experience, physical and mental health.
Yeah.
Free of charge, of course. So all I have to say is come at me, bros. Come at me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fad Camp. As always, we want to thank our producer, Darren Lee. If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to review us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Great ratings and reviews really help more people find the show, and it would mean a lot to us.
Make sure to share the episodes with friends and family or on your social media. Every listen helps.
And we absolutely love hearing from our listeners, so please get in touch with any of your diet stories on fadcamppodcast@gmail.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.